Welcome to everyone to come and worship with us this morning. To welcome those who have accepted Christ and now come and worship with us. I'd like to welcome Miss Jin from Denver also come to worship with us. May we be blessed as in this time of Christmas that we can experience the true joy of Christmas. Last week we learned about the mystery of Christmas. Now this time we think about the joy of Christmas. And every time Christmas comes, we come, we will see Merry Christmas. Is hanging somewhere on the church. We also say to each other, Merry Christmas. Maybe because our freedom day, instead of Merry Christmas Day, Happy Holidays instead, to be politically correct. When people don't have faith, they do not feel like to have to say Merry Christmas, but it expressed something about a joy of the season. And like Luke has told us that what Jesus, Christmas, what is the bring, what joy it can bring? Another one person opened a department store and there is one client come and bought a shirt. And this person looked at the label and see something like this, shrink resistant. That means it would not shrink. But he asked the clerk what that meant. Why is there such a label like that? Shrink resistant. And the clerk said, the label, when you bring effort in, it will shrink, but because that label means that the shirt will shrink, but it doesn't want to. And of course, that's something, explanation that is not correct in the fabric that would not shrink. And many, the question, do you have a joy of Christmas? Everybody has joy. Do you ask the student, are you happy? Yes. Why are you happy? Because I have one or two weeks off from school. The one who are working, why are you happy about business? Yes. Why? Because I'm paid for my vacation. And then if some good work will be double the salary. We ask for the women. Ask the women, are you happy? Why? Every day we have chocolate. Or we ask the believer, are you happy about the Christmas? Because every Christmas we have many decorations, many parties to buy this and that. And that brings us joy. But the joy of Christmas, where is it? I like to ask in John chapter 1 verse 14, talk about the true joy of Christmas. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. There are three reasons that give us joy because of this fact of the fact that Jesus was born. The first joy is that because God became human. The second joy is that, and the third joy is that joy because of grace and truth. Let's pray for guidance. Dear our Heavenly, we thank you because Jesus has come to the world to change the whole history, to change the condition of the sinners suffering in sin to become your children, that we receive peace, that we experience grace, true grace from the Lord. You have changed our destiny from the one or lost to become into a blessed everlasting life. We ask that each year when we commemorate
this Christmas that we would not have joy because of the gifts, not because of the music. Joy not because of the happy atmosphere when we prepare to commemorate Hashem, but we have true joy in our heart. May you enlighten us this time to have true joy in our heart. We lift everything into your hand. May you be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we think about is we are have joy because God became human. If Jesus did not come, what happened? There's a Newsweek magazine made a survey like this about asking questions about Christ and his birth. Is it a fairy tale or a historical fact? 67% believe that the entire story of Christmas is historically accurate. But also 24% believe the story of Christmas is a theological invention. And because of all that, and Jesus is sinless, he became all the story of that. People thought it's just some invention. But if the fact that the Jesus born is not true, how did that influence the world? And they made a survey. If Jesus did not get was born, then the charity would be 63% less. That means we have the charity, but the fact that Jesus came has encouraged the hearts of giving about charity. If Jesus wasn't born, then 61% be less kind to each other. That maybe there is some kindness, but not as that kindness. It will decrease 61%. If Jesus was not born into the world, then personal happiness will be reduced by 59%. There are some things that bring happiness, but without Jesus, 59% will be reduced in terms of happiness. And if Jesus was not born, then there will be 58% less tolerance to forgive each other, to tolerate each other. And if Jesus wasn't born, then there will be 47% more wars among the nation. And that's the survey from Newsweek. Maybe today we know that this is a historically accurate word. The problems today that we think each other, when you say Merry Christmas, what is the joy in that saying when you say it to others? Or we just feel that, oh, Christmas is, how are you? And even if you're trying to say, fine. But if that wishing is only a passing word, that means meaningless to others. But the joy of Christmas must be true in the heart of a believer. That what is the first joy is joy because God became human, the Word said. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And John used the word, and the word logos is in Greek that represents the word means Jesus. The word means a saying of somebody. It is an idea, and then we express it through words. And that is the word. The sound made from our mouth into words. We use our word to communicate so that others can understand us. that God became human so that he can use the human language to explain to us how God can love us. So the Word became flesh is a greatest joy because God is explaining to us by our own human language so that we can understand the creation plan of God when God created this world. And we are the only creatures that can bring the joy for the Lord and has a relationship with the Lord. And the Lord also explained the salvation plan that has been established to reestablish a sinful condition, become the child of God. All these issues, the salvation of the Christmas has been planned and established from the beginning before we committed sin. When Adam and Eve committed sin, God told the serpent, Satan, that in the form of serpent to the woman's child will crush your head. And this descending in a singular form. He needs the woman's child. This child's woman will stomp or crush your head. God said to Satan. And 2000 before Christ, this is repeated again that God chose Abraham. And last week we have talked about this. And God told Abraham, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And God wanted to tell, there is someone to come from the descendant of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham. 1,000 years before Christ, another one, Moses, who led the Israel from the slavery to come to the promised land. And he said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. And that prophecy talked about Jesus. And then 700 BC before Christ, that prophecy has been told by Isaiah. Said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive give birth to a son. And we will call him Emmanuel. That means God with us. And all that events, the creation 2,000 before Christ and 1,000 years before Christ, then 700 years before Christ, God told us ahead. And before Jesus was born, during the time when Jesus was about to come into the world, God told two persons. First, that is Joseph. Joseph was told that son will save his people from sin and you will name this son Jesus. Told Mary is the virgin that used to give birth by the Holy Spirit. You will carry you with your son. And that son will call the Son of the Most High. And all this has been told before Mary was even pregnant. And then Joseph took Mary as his wife. The word of the Lord has told so many thousand years before. That word has not changed. When Jesus came into this world, that word continued to confirm the salvation plan that Jesus, he is my son, is pleasing to me in all ways. And that word told that everybody on this world, whoever we see him, will have everlasting life. If he or she does not believe, but the anger of the Lord continue to be with that person who does not believe. When we are apart from our loved ones, maybe that we don't have contact with some relative, that appearance may change. We would not recognize after a long time. But if that person just speaks, we would probably recognize right away. Because that uniqueness of the sound. When we call someone, and our love is somewhere, and the sound has a uniqueness in it that we recognize that person. But somebody called us, we know that that is our brother or our sister. We would recognize by their voice. And it's difficult not to recognize it. So that when God used His word to speak to us, that word will never change. We can change in appearance, but our voice hardly changes. God, His word from the beginning until the end about His salvation plan never changed. You and I so born here. We have been destined to have. We have been become human. But Jesus, He was God. He chose to become human. And so Jesus became human. So different the way that we are human. You and I, we have been created. But Jesus, He was not created. He was with God. He chose to become human like us. And that is something very unique. And we have a poet, Mr. Mi Kong Tru, said, next life, I will be a pine tree to sing in the wood. And then there's a song written about that. In the song, it says that many times I want to become a clown. What for? So I can go from place to place. Sometimes I wish to be a bird to do what? So then I will not have any worries. Why did they wish to be a tree in the forest, to be a cloud or a bird? Because our life is truly have a lot of suffering. And because of those suffering, they did not want to accept a lot of suffering, but wishing to somewhat something different that escape from the suffering, to be a tree in the forest, to be a bird or the fire. So yeah, somehow, did you think that that tree will be chopped down? And if we are a bird, somebody would shoot down that bird. Well, suffering is all around us. That suffering is not because of us, because of sin. The problem is, sin caused us suffering. It's not that we can become others, suffering will go away. However, we could wish to be a bird, a tree, or a cloud. Wish is the wish. But we could become like our wish to escape this world is suffering, not only a wish. But here the Bible says the word has become human flesh. This is the dream. God wanted to become human. When God wished that He can make His wish come true, He became into the world. You and I, born here, when we choose the name, was the name by our parents. We did not choose the name. When we were born, which town that we were born? No. You were born by your mother, wherever the town that you live in. When we were born, we can become any particular nation. If we are Vietnamese, we will be born here. But not when He wanted to come into this world. God has chosen what kind of person that is. And from the nations of Israel, that He will come into the world through that nation. So He chose to be a Jew. And in the world map, and the map of Israel is right in the Middle East. When Jesus came to the world, He chose in a town called Bethlehem. And 700 years before, the prophecy was declared for Him to be born there. He would be born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy. He was chosen Jesus. And before he was born, God told Joseph to name this baby Jesus. Jesus means the Savior of the world. And the name Jesus was not because it's a beautiful name. No. God chose the name Jesus expresses the role of Jesus when he came to this world to do what? To become a Savior. And this name is Jesus. There is a theologian, Søren Kierkegaard, a great Danish theologian of the 18th century, tells the story of a prince who was running an errand for his father one day in the local village. As he did so, he passed through a very poor section of the town. Looking through the window of his carriage, he saw a beautiful young peasant girl walking along the street. He could not get her out of his mind. He continued to come to the town day after day just to see her and to feel as though he was near her. His heart yearned for her, but there was a problem. How could he develop a relation with her? He could order her to marry him. It was in his power to do so. But he wanted this girl to love him from the heart, willingly. He could put on his royal garment. And so, if he used his royal power to force her, he could put on his royal garments and impress her with her regal entourage and drive up to her front door with a soldier and a carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the girl loved him or was simply overwhelmed with his power, position, and wealth. Now, the prince came up with another solution. As you may have guessed, he gave up his kingly robe and symbols of power and privilege. He moved into the village dressed only as a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests and concerns, and talked their language. In time, the young peasant girl grew to know him, and then to love him. This is what Jesus has done for us, and this theologian has wanted to express the story of how Jesus' love is. The Word became flesh. The King of Heaven put aside his heavenly robe and divine prerogatives. He came to us as one of us. He lived among us, ate with us, and drank with us, felt with us, all to win our love. He could have forced us to love him, but he did not do this. He went to his being because of his love that expresses his love on the cross, and that love can endear us to him. And this is the value of the Word become flesh. The joy when God became human like us, so that we can wish everybody Merry Christmas. And you recognize that. What is the joy in my heart to give you that wish? The second point is that we have joy because he is with us. Joy because the Word became flesh. But also the second, that we have joy because he is with us. He is among us. when the two lovers just took them, they always find a way to be close to each other. When I first met my wife, her daughter of a pastor. It's very difficult to invite her anywhere. But the first time when I can invite my wife, ask permission from the pastor. So with the other friends to go, not privately, or to go to see something there, a social event. So I want to ask the pastor of my, the parents of my wife, a permission. And so that the parents can trust me to invite her into, to go out, but with the crowd, not privately, to give him some assurance that his daughter will be fine. They always want to find a way to be with each other, or just give some, a handkerchief, or she can give him some perfume. It's something, any other gift that can give to each other is good too. But is that enough? No. It's not enough until the two stay together. That wish, the greatest wish of the lover is to live together. When God loves us, the greatest wish is to come and be with us. This is a feeling from God. No, even when God created us, He used His love to create us. And because of that love, God wanted that His creation to be close with Him. So God, He created this world, but also He created us in the Garden of Eden, that bring the Adam and Eve to put it in the earth. For what? So there, the human can relate to God. Anywhere is fine, but must be Eden, the one that He created. It's a place where God wanted Adam and Eve there. And from the beginning, the human has been seeing God in the Garden of Eden, but because of sin, God would not destroy. He wanted to become human to be with us in the flesh. With that, God planned that He will become human like us. When He become like us, His name must be Emmanuel. That means God is with us. That Emmanuel is Emmanuel. God, Jesus is God, meaning God with us. Our human love could be very wonderful, but also it has a condition. There is a letter from Mr. Jimmy sent to his lover named Jennifer. It's a very moving letter. From the time I love you, I want to be with you only. Without you, I could not live. You are the reason for my life. I need you like a dying person needing oxygen. Or I can swim through 7 or 8 rivers. Or if I can climb 9 or 10 tall mountains, I will do it only to be close to you. I love you and only you. And one, a P.S. Tonight, I will visit you if there is no rain. The congregation, all the promises there, but there is a condition. If there's rain, He would not come this year. There is no if in God's love. Last week, we thought about when He came to the world that He created, but the world did not receive Him. He knew that. God knew that. He continued to carry out His plan. He came to His own people, but His people rejected Him, mocked Him. He came. He was mocked. He despised Him. And finally, He was nailed on the cross. God knew ahead of time what was going to happen to His Son. Our God is seeing that we are suffering in our life. And He has to establish the way, how to live away that suffering, how to cause that people apart from God to bring closer to Him. So we see that the wish of the Lord to be with us from the creation, God is desiring to be with us. The sin in us caused us apart from God. He created a nation, and that from nation, He gave a family, and that family, He became a human to be with us. And not only with the human on a few years, He is still wishing to live with us, so that the word of God in Revelation verse 21, verse 3 says, God will be with him who are believers. They will be, and He will be His people. He is God with us. The wish of wish never changed. The word of God does not change. The love of God never changed. That salvation plan never changed. But the choice is between us. It's for us to make a choice. Do we want to come to Him? Do we want Him to live with us? That is our choice. Today, if we say we cheer to the Merry Christmas, do we feel that the joy that God is with us or not? If we do not feel that when we wish somebody else, it's only just our wishing word, empty wishing word. In verse that we have read, I have witnessed His glory, the glory of the only Son. This is not just John has lived with Jesus. He became His apostle. So that he said, I saw the glory of the Lord. Merry Christmas. We can experience the true joy in our heart. We are happy and joy because we see Him among us. The third point that we have a joy is that because of grace and truth. The word said, the word became flesh among us, full of grace and truth. When Jesus became to become human, Mary was the one to give birth. God is borrowing a manger, a smelly manger, to be born there. And He borrowed Joseph to a father on earth to take care of Jesus when he was young. When Jesus served the Lord, he has nothing. He can preach. He can borrow the sheep of somebody there enough to preach. When he wants to perform miracle, he take the food from this little kid of 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. When Jesus wanted to die, he wanted to borrow a empty tomb to bury himself. It's a borrow. And that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. When we saw Jesus came, he does not have anything. He's not rich. He has no value according to the world. He said one thing. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The lacking of everything, Jesus used everything. But there are two things that God does not borrow. That He will see that grace and truth are the two things that does not need to borrow. He is full of grace and truth when He came to life. The first, we think that, what is grace? Grace is a gift that the receiver does not deserve. You and I, we feel that we despise when we turn our hand out and nobody wants to shake our hand. We feel uncomfortable. We will feel comfortable if we give a gift to someone and that throw that gift away. We will feel insulted. Why would we react? we will feel insulted and bitter and find a way to revenge of that action that insulted us. With God, the sin has separated us from the Lord, has lost the purpose of what God has promised for us. And that's God continue to come to give us grace. There's a story from a story in New York where the school for the runaways, a teacher came. And they were very disrespectful to this teacher. They were smoking. They disrespect this teacher. They live in an undisciplined life now with the class for the runaway. But they live in a way of the undisciplined. So the teacher decided, how did he change it? And say one day, everybody come and say to them, do we want to study here? They said, yes. If you want to study, you have to be disciplined. Do you agree? The student said, yes. We would have to say, a person going to school, we will meet whoever is undisciplined. If we unbutton the shirt, we will be punished. If somebody to smoke, what happened? 7 slashes. If we smoke, that person, how about stealing? 10 beatings. So the teacher established a discipline, a rule that if you come to the class, you have to obey this disciplinary rule. So he chose someone who have a big body. You will be the head of the class. And if somebody violate this rule, and you will be the one to punish them. And Tommy loved to be the head of the class like this. One day, Tommy said, went to school. He left his lunch on there, and he opened it. That sandwich left and gone away somewhere. Somebody stole it. And now he has nothing for lunch. The teacher said, find out who stole your sandwich, Tommy. And Tommy, and today I saw Michael stole. He did not have time or money to buy lunch. So Michael stole a Tommy. So Michael said, and he said, no, but he is lying. And his action prove that he's stolen. Michael must go down. Tommy then whispers a whip from his belt. 10 slashes because he has stolen the sandwich. He will suffer 10 beatings from the belt. And Tommy looked at Michael. He's so very skinny under his brother's shirt. He said, oh, teacher, no, I could not do this. Tommy said, if I just beat him one, he would die. But this is the rule. We could not destroy this law. This has the numbers. 10 beatings. And Tommy said, I'm not going to do it. If I just hit him one, he would die right away because he's so skinny. And the problem is we have the law, the rule here. We have to apply it. Tommy said, dear teacher, what if I receive the beatings? The law means that we have to punish the law. If somebody can be instead of Michael, because somebody can feel bad, Tommy, and then he gave himself up. I will be punished instead of Michael, Tommy said that. And the teacher said, Michael, you're going to beat Tommy. And so, one beating on Tommy. When Tommy was crying, second beating, and this tears Michael. And he counted all the beating, 10 beatings on Tommy's body. And Tommy has 10 slashes in his back. And the whole class was in tears. After that, everybody changed. Everybody now become aware of their appearance. Nobody smoked anymore. Every shirt got buttoned. No legs on the table. They treat each other. What happened? There is someone who sacrificed, who paid the price. And because of the paying the price, that's Tommy that has changed the whole class. And during this world, with this world, our sin, they only wish to be someone else to escape the suffering. But there must be something to change the condition of our sinful nature. God has come into this world to pay our price. The grace that we have given, He became human so that you and I can be changed in our hearts. God has come in this world so that we can be lifted up nearer to His throne. He borrowed a woman to be a mother so that we can call our Father in heaven, our Father. God accepted rejection to be rejected on the cross so that we can connect with that. He became poor so that we can be rich in everlasting, the kingdom of God. He was despised so that we can be glorified. He died for us to have life. Grace is a gift that the receiver does not deserve to have. Not only grace, God gave us truth as well. God means what? Truth means what? That means something that is true to everyone in everywhere, in every time or condition. In U.S., we drive on the right, but we can say that driving on the right is truth. Well, in England, it's different. They drive on the left side or anywhere in the Virgin Islands, please can see that have to drive on the left hand side. So driving on the right is the law, but it's not truth. But it's only applicable to a local region. But if I say everybody, every must be affected by the gravity of the earth, is that truth? Yes, because it applies to everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, wherever you are on earth, gravity will affect you and pull you down toward the earth. So, that is truth. You and I are the one that are not concerned of the salvation of God. Maybe say, I don't need God. I will pay for my own sin. I will be punished. Or anybody to receive death, that person would never pay enough for their sins. It's not enough. So that the gospel has become truth. That means that the gospel of the Lord is something that applies to everyone and every situation or time. Those Christmas has become something that divided history into two. Today, we have the year, month, day, because Jesus has came into the world. Why did that historical fact, that influence to everyone, for every nation, doesn't matter whether that nation worships the Lord or not. The day that we have is because of Christmas. The reason that we have the calendar today. And Buddha has been born 500 years and Muhammad was born 500 years after. And Buddha has become his leader of religion. And Muhammad also became a religious leader, very large followers. But they did not use the birthday of Buddha or Muhammad to mark the calendar, but it was based on the birth of Jesus, because he is God's son. And because of the truth applies to everyone. So that is the reason it's applied to everyone, whether we believe or not. The birth of Jesus, our date of marriage, our date of birth is based on the birth of Jesus, which is the calendar that we have today. Dear congregation, the fact that Jesus was born in a manger has become a joy for everyone in the world, though they have believer or not. The day that Jesus became a great holiday for everyone. So that historical fact, it's not just for the believer, but for everybody in the world that recognized. Even when the two nations were fighting, they want to stop the fighting to commemorate Christmas. And then after Christmas, they continue fighting. That was a wonderful fact. And it became a joy because the Son of God has put himself in that lowly manger. It's a joy of everyone. When the Son of God put wherever the Son is, and that became a symbol that brings joy to the whole world. God has put himself on the cross for us. The cross is a punishment of an evil person. When Jesus put that himself on God, that cross represents love. And everywhere we can see the cross that represents love. We saw that when we have a decoration that the wearing of jewelry, why did they use any other symbol, but they use the cross? Because Jesus put himself there. Today, you and I have the Sunday, and then we have a holiday on Sunday. Why did the whole world have the Sunday? Because this is the day that Jesus was born to give us a day of rest. And a fact that has influence to everyone every time. And that's truth. Because Christ has been born. The gospel is the truth of God, whether we accept it or not, or whether anyone to receive Christ. Whoever believes in Christ will have everlasting life. We will have to face the anger of the Lord. How far unbelief that grace and truth has been given. But we have the choice whether we accept that gift or not. Gospel is not a religion. It is a peace between God and man. And because of that, we can say Merry Christmas because of that joy. So we must understand truth and the grace of the Lord when Jesus was born in a manger. I'd like to conclude a story about the Second World War. In the year 1947, Corrie and her friend was captured and put into camp because they were hiding the Jews before the German army in the Second World War. And in that concentration camp, they were mistreated. And Betsy is someone who was beaten and violated, and she died in camp. After the World War II, and the plan of the German was destroyed and failed. And then Corrie was released back. And she became a witness for Christ. In 1947, she was sharing the gospel at a church in Munich to talk about the forgiveness of the Lord. And there's one person raised up to come and meet with Corey and kneel before her, ask for forgiveness. And she looked at that. This is the person who mistreated the sister in that camp that where Corey was in prison. And that person became a Christian. He came to Corey Ten Boom. You preach forgiveness. Can you forgive me? In this situation, who is fighting with herself, that should I forgive this man when she mistreated me back then? She never was in this situation. And she kneeled down and prayed, "Dear Lord, what do you want me to do? If I don't have your love, I could not forgive this person." After she prayed, she lifted up and held out her hand and lift him up. The gospel has changed the heart of a revenge. We could not become good because of our effort. The Christmas has become joy that enters the heart of the one received Christ. Before that, Corey thought, this is some enemy of mine way back then. She suffered under his treatment. And after she prayed, she stood up and lifted him up. That's the gospel of the Lord. Not because of Corey's temper, but that's the change brought about by the power of the living Christ. She has the ability to forgive someone who mistreated. John said, this is the gospel. He said, I have witnessed that his Lord became flesh dwelling among us. May God bless you and me today. And say with each other, Merry Christmas, because of the joy. Must be the joy deep in our heart. Without it, when we say Merry Christmas, it became meaningless. May God bless you. Let's all stand. We reread the key verse of today's message. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Full of grace and truth. I thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. No, you know that you came to the world that you world would not accept you. You came to the people and people rejected you. You continue to come. And if you didn't come, we would not have this grace. We would not receive the truth. Because we have been created to have a purpose. We are thankful because of your gospel that can change the heart of each person. And each, when we put our faith in you, that we will be your phone. May us think, when we think about the Christmas, that we have true joy in our heart. Because you have become a human like us. You understand us. You share our burden and suffering that we are facing. You can understand our, the way to save us from this suffering. From sickness to from death. Fear of death, the suffering in this world. You have a way to give us peace. We are thankful because you are with us, not among us. You are inside of us. You share with us our life. Wherever we go, wherever we, whatever we need, you will also want to do and work with us. You express us the grace and truth that is, that you have given to each one of us. May we be fully understand this grace so that we will be committed to you. We are thankful. We know that we have, some have returned to the love and you have brought us together to be one, to become someone that's set apart for you. That is your church. The church has been set apart for yourself. May we be worthy of your love. We are thankful because you have given us the opportunity to worship you. May we understand the gospel, to understand the joy of Christmas, so that in our lives we can express other about the gospel. We thank you, Lord. We are thankful and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.